Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Thursday, March 30th, 2022. Okay, we had a relatively slow day on the market today as we get ready for potential fireworks tomorrow, Thursday morning, also Friday morning with a big inflation report on Thursday, a labor report on Friday. So we'll talk about that here in just a minute. What else did we have? Yeah, I've been seeing quite a bit in the media the last couple of days about how an inverted yield curve is guaranteeing that we're going into a recession. It's actually not. But anyway, we'll talk about what an inverted yield curve actually is. All right, so we have that. Survey is out that it said investors believe it's time to buy high dividend stocks. So I'll talk about that. Well, you got to be a little bit careful, Joe, just because a stock has a high dividend yield. There could be a little bit more to it. 4.4 million people quit their jobs in February, nearing the record, I think 4.5 million back in November. And, you know, we'll talk about what obviously may be causing that. And we do, as in most days, have some stocks in the news. Okay, so as far as the market, I mentioned relatively slow day today. Markets waiting on those big economic reports coming out tomorrow and Friday. But let's see, Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 0.19%, S&P 500 down 0.63%, and the NASDAQ Composite down 1.21%. Yeah, because at a higher than we've had in a long time inflation we've had over the last few months, the market is really now focusing on inflation because the anticipation is that if inflation stays relatively high, the Federal Reserve will continue to influence interest rates upwards to try and slow down the economy. So tomorrow we have the PCE report coming out, Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. This is the report most looked at by the Federal Reserve. Now, I have covered it on previous sessions, but just a quick summary. What makes this different than perhaps the better known Consumer Price Index? The Consumer Price Index actually surveys households, how much they're spending versus, you know, in prior periods for a basket of goods. It's actually over 400 different items, everything from eyeglasses to food to toothpaste to just all kinds of stuff. All right. The reason the Federal Reserve, as well as many economists, prefer the PCE report, it actually is a little bit more encompassing. A lot of people don't realize the Consumer Price Index only surveys consumers that live in urban areas, in cities and immediate suburbs. Doesn't take into account people living out in the countryside, farms. It also doesn't take into account what businesses are spending. An example, you may have a company now having to pay more money for employee health insurance, but they're not passing that cost on to their employees, particularly in this tight labor market. So you may have a situation where employees are paying the same for health insurance, but companies are actually paying more. So the PCE index takes more of that into account. It also surveys a much more wider consumer base, you know, about countryside farms and so forth. So that's two of the, that's some of the main differences. But another one is the substitution effect. The Consumer Price Index doesn't really take into account that sometimes people will quickly change their spending from one item to another. An example I've used before, you know, if you're used to spending a certain amount of money on coffee, like say you go to Starbucks every day and get one of those like big giant venti coffees, and I know they're over $3 now, but let's just say it's $3. And that's what you do. You spend $3 a day on coffee, and then you walk in one day, and for whatever reason, they're telling you it's $25 now. Well, the Consumer Price Index would calculate that in. Okay, well, you're paying more for coffee. Now, what would probably happen? Well, I'm not paying $25 for this. Do you have any tea or hot chocolate or something? Consumers substitute, go to something else. And the PCE index takes that into account. consumer price index does not. I remembered in the early 2000s, they still had as one of their basket of goods, VCRs, where people had already been using DVD players for years and actually had moved on in some cases to Blu-ray players. So anyway, but that's the big report coming out tomorrow, 8:30 Eastern time. So I'm sure you'll hear a lot about it. Now we have a big labor report coming in on Friday, also 8:30 in the morning Eastern time. That is for the month of March, even though Friday's April 1st. How do we get numbers so quickly for the entire month of March? Payroll numbers are not that hard to get, labor numbers, because they come from a lot of data that companies send to the IRS and other places. So anyway, what the market's going to look at is how many people have gone back to work. We still are showing with the latest numbers, 11.4 million jobs available in the United States. That is basically a record high. I think it was 11.5 a month or so earlier. But anyway, are people beginning to go back to work now that COVID seems to be fading away somewhat? So that's a big thing the market's going to look at. And we got some reports, 4.4 million people have quit their jobs. It doesn't mean they're dropping out of labor force. Most likely, they're just going to other companies. Several reasons for that. One is that, you know, people might have been looking to make a change for a while, just didn't during COVID. You also have the situation, people quit their jobs during COVID, went to work somewhere else, found out things aren't as great as they were. And something else that I'm finding out that I've mentioned a little bit on previous sessions, as companies are beginning to tell their workers that have worked from home for the last 2 years, okay, you need to come back in 1 or 2 days a week at least. They're finding their employees don't even live there anymore, you know, where the company is, that they moved away like a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever. So these employees are having to quit. One reason that's been explained to me as to why employers are requiring their workers to live in a certain state, as an example. Like an example, here in Florida, you might have a company that requires all their workers to live in Florida, but they've been at home for the last 2 years, so some of these workers moved away and the company didn't even know it. Now they're telling them, come back in a day or two a week, and the employee's like, look, I live in Oregon. I don't live in Florida anymore. Can I just work from here? The reason it's been explained to me is that if all your employees live in Florida, then you only have to follow federal labor law and Florida labor law. If you have even one employee living in Oregon, you got to follow Oregon labor law for the entire company. So that's part of what's explained to me. So anyway, all right, so we got those reports coming out. All right. Okay, so the media's been all over this inverted yield curve, saying it guarantees that we are going into a recession. I mean, what are they, Nostradamus with pinch of J.P. Morgan thrown in. All right, what are they talking about? All right, so first of all, it's bonds, stocks and bonds. What bonds are, they're loans to governments or corporations. They're usually in increments of $1,000, just very simply. If you were to lend the United States government $1,000 for 10 years, you're lending it to the United States Treasury. If the Treasury says they'll give you 3% a year interest, you would get $30 a year on your 3% of $1,000 for each of the next 10 years, $300 total. And at the end of the 10 years, you get your $1,000 back. All right. The government borrows generally from overnight all the way up to 30 years. And this is called a yield curve. Yield's the rate of return you're getting. Well, generally, the way it works, the longer you're willing to commit your money, the higher interest you get, like just like a bank CD. You know, if you buy a 10-year CD, you get more interest than if you buy a 1-year CD. All right, so here's the thing. The reason is that you're taking on more risk the longer your money's tied up. And with the U.S. federal government, even though there's really considered to be no default risk because the Treasury can print money, you got the inflation risk that you've locked in a low rate, and then inflation suddenly is getting much higher and interest rates are quite a bit higher than what you locked in. So there are risks there. All right. So generally, the longer you're willing to buy a Treasury, the higher the interest rate. And that is the way it is right now. As a matter of fact, I've got the rates. You can just Google or whatever search engine you use Treasury rates, and you'll come right up to the site on the U.S. Treasury site. All right, so I'll give you some information for today. Let's see. A one-year Treasury, it's called a Treasury bill. Actually, Treasury note is 1 year or longer. Treasury bill's under a year. All right, but anyway, 1 year, 1.64%. A year interest. Rates are still relatively low. If we go out to 10 years, we go up to 2.35%. And we go up to 30 years, 2.48%. All right. Yesterday, what happens with an inverted yield curve is sometimes you get a situation where the 30-year treasury pays less interest than, say, a shorter-term treasury. That's called an inverted yield curve. All right. So basically, we did briefly see that yesterday. Let's see what we have. We had a 3-year treasury paying 2.54%. And then we had a 30-year treasury, 2.53. So the media jumped all over this, a guaranteed recession. No, it has had a correlation when we have an inverted yield curve to a recession coming, an economic slowdown. However, it's usually when the yield curve stays inverted for a period of time, not like a few hours or a day. And it doesn't happen all the time. It's not 100% guarantee we're going into a recession. And the other thing to think about is that the rules of the investment world change. What may have applied 5 years ago may not apply today in this post-COVID world. But anyway, what causes an inverted yield curve? Right, here's basically how it works. Investors, if they think that if they think we might be going into an economic recession, what they do is they actually start moving their money out of stocks and they begin buying long-term treasuries for the safety of the federal government. And as they buy them, they push the price up, which then pushes the yield down. Let me give you a quick example. I think hopefully makes sense. I'm going to use just the number 5%, which is higher, obviously, than right now, but it could get there. All right. If you buy a $1,000 treasury bond that pays $50 a year interest, that's 5% a year, 50 divided by 1,000. And then investors begin buying that 30-year treasury. They start pushing the price up. And they push it up to, say, $1,100. Well, it's still only paying $50 interest, so 50 divided by 1,100, the yield has dropped to 4.5%. So that's how you get a drop in a yield curve. So anyway, in a nutshell, but be careful with the media. They jump all over this stuff make it a bigger deal than it probably is. We'd want to see an inverted yield curve for a period of time, and it may or may not be a guarantee of a recession. All right, so what else did we have today? Saw somebody did a survey, I don't remember who it was, saying investors are looking for high dividend paying stocks. Okay, well, you always got to be careful with surveys. I mean, who did you survey and how was the question phrased? You know, if I went to a church on a Sunday and ask people, you know, do you read the Bible every week? You're probably going to get a much higher percentage than if I just asked the general public. Or if I went to a dentist, you know, it depends on the question's phrase too, and said, would you prefer your patients to chew rat poison or chewing gum? They're like, well, I prefer neither. But I guess if I had a choice, I guess gum. And then I go 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed recommend our gum. So you got to be careful there. But anyway, high dividend paying stocks. Dividends are cut of the profits. Companies usually pay consistent dividends quarterly. Not all companies pay dividends. Many take all their profits and just reinvest it back in the company. And then you do see sometimes companies that might pay like a minuscule dividend of a penny a share per quarter. You know, why even bother? I actually saw somebody on a national financial show once was asked that question. It caught them by surprise. And they said, well, it gets you on the list. And then they couldn't really elaborate on what the list was. The real reason, insurance companies that are big investors in the stock market, also the bond market, some insurance companies, particularly the ones chartered in Connecticut, are only allowed to buy dividend-paying stocks by their charters. So some companies pay a minuscule dividend to qualify for purchase by insurance companies and some other institutions like pension plans on occasion too. That's the reason. Anyway, what you want to be careful though, if you got a high dividend yielding stock, what that is, you got to be careful because it may have related to a stock collapse more than anything. So I'll give you an example. Say a company paid $1 a share dividend for the last 12 months, and the stock was at $20 a share. Well, 1 divided by 20, that's 5% yield. Well, now what happens? What if you suddenly see that that's paying 10% yield? Well, it could be a case that the stock has gone from $20 a share to $10 a share. And the dividend numbers that are looked at are the last 12 months that may not be paid going forward. So be a little careful with high dividend yields. It might be simply related to a stock coming way down and using dividend numbers for the last year that may or may not apply going forward. All right, so just a couple of stocks and we'll call it a day and then get back to it here when those economic reports come out. All right, so we did have a few stocks in the news. Robinhood, Simple Hood, the brokerage firm, down 8.5%. Morgan Stanley basically initiated coverage of the company, stating that they need to really expand their offering besides just stock trading. That is correct, because if we go into an extended downwards market, a bear market, stock trading tends to dry up. All right, so we had that. Lululemon, this is the one that I didn't even know how to pronounce. I was calling it a Lululemon on, and I had to go ask a young person I know, how do you even pronounce this? They make clothing like to go work out in. I know it's real popular with a lot of young women. So I asked a young woman I know in my neighborhood. So how do you, she said it's called Lululemon, and she told me the products are really good. So anyway, all right, so here's my friend's daughter, actually. I think she was dropping a hint. My birthday's coming up soon, too. So, okay, good to know. All right, but anyway, says here they are up 9.6% today. They announced a $1 billion stock buyback program. This company's been doing well, Lulu, L-U-L-U, so keep an eye on it. One or two more. I got one more I want to talk about, actually. Five Below. All right. This one has been talked up quite a bit. It's a retail store. They sell, I guess, discount items. And I was hearing that people were saying they're going to replace Toys R Us, and because they do sell toys, and you know, everybody was running the stock up. It really hasn't done that well, so I'd be careful with this one. The question then becomes, you know, what happened to Toys R Us's sales? Where'd they go? Well, they went to Walmart, Target, and also looks like Amazon.com. So anyway, I'd be a little careful with this. Five Below, symbols five, F-I-V-E, Frank, Ida, Victor, Edward. And today they were down 6.5%. And this stock has been down, oh, let's see. It was $207 a share at the end of the year. It's 160 now. So I don't know. They got an earnings problem, so I'd be a little careful with that one. All right, so we're going to wrap it up for today. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Hope everyone's doing well. Talk to you again soon. Take care. See ya.